Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we pray, that we might be grounded and settled in your truth by the coming of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. What we do not know, reveal to us. What is lacking within us, make complete, and the direction you would have us go, confirm in our minds, and keep us blameless in your service. For the sake of your church and your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you love going to church?
Yes.
I do. I love going to church. Tell the person next to you just one reason why you love going to church. It doesn't have to be about me. That's right. You know, my family is grown now, but as children, my kids loved going to church. They would wake us up early, God bless them. And they would be out of the car before we were. And just love, they would get into the car park and run into the building. They loved going to church, and they still do. It's a blessing. And it's also a blessing to see that they're bringing my grandchildren with them. You know, some of my best and long-standing friends are here in this church. I've been here over 30 years. It's a long time. A long time to make great friends. And some of my best friends are here in this church with me today. You know, over the years, people have made a point of telling me we love going to this church. I guess, you know, people want to tell the pastor those sort of things sometimes. It's good. I mean, the other side of it, not, but when they come and tell you they love going to church, it's great. And I get what they mean. I really do. It's a lovely thing. I understand the sentiment because this is a wonderful church. Tell the person next to you, this is a wonderful church. And mean it. This place is vibrant and real and life-affirming, and it's relevant. It's welcoming and engaging, and it's grace-filled. It's loving and caring and open-minded and fun. It's well led by a great team. It's Holy Spirit empowered, and it's Bible-based. It's creative and healthy and youthful, and everyone is challenged to grow. It's multi-generational. I love that. Especially now. It's multi-ethnic, and there is equal opportunity for all. Whether you're a man or a woman, there is no limit to the ministry that you can do for the Lord. You know, I recently visited another church, and afterwards a couple came bounding up to me. I mean that literally. Badoing, badoing, badoing. And she almost grabbed me by the collar, but she didn't. And she went, "We love going to this church." Okay. She was super enthusiastic. Emphasis on the super. For him, yeah, not so much. They'd been coming to that church for about 3 years, as I understand it. And she spoke for some minutes about what she felt in worship every Sunday. She was enthusiastic. So I said, "Great, I'm new here, but I love it that you love it here. It's fantastic." I said, "What are the life groups like? I mean, I'm new here." And she said, "Oh, well, we haven't joined one yet." I went, "Oh, okay, no worries." I said, "What about your kids? They love going to youth?" And I could see that they were in the background there. And she said, "Oh, no, they haven't been able to, you know, what with part-time jobs and sports and things." I went, "Oh, okay, no worries." I said, "So you're really enthusiastic." I said, "What team are you volunteering on?" And she said, "Well, you know, we haven't actually done that. Actually, today's our first time in a long time. We always feel guilty about it. But when we come, we love it. Don't we, honey? Honey had already left and gone and got coffee. They were nice people. They were genuinely nice people. And I was thrilled to meet them and to hear a bit of their story. But I just smiled and nodded, as a sage pastor does. But what I really wanted to say to them, for the sake of their faith and their marriage and their family, was this. You know, maybe you'd feel less guilty and more unified as a family if you just stop going to church. But I didn't, because I'm a pastor and I get a commission for every church attender. So, no, that's a joke for if you're new. The reason that I wanted to be frank with them was I believe with all my heart, that God's call upon those who follow Jesus, that's Christians, is not to just go to church. Believe that with all my heart. You know, not go to church like you'd go to a cinema or a sports stadium or a concert hall. Not that sort of thing. That's not what God wants, I think. God's call for us is to be conformed to the faith and character of Jesus. Okay, that's the deal for those who choose to follow him. Not to go to church, but to be planted in God's house, which is Christ's body. It's a big difference. I want to speak to about that today. Jesus' call to his followers is not to go to church, but to be the church. That's a fill-in on your outline this morning. So I also say to you, stop going to church. You heard it first here. Start being the church. Stop going to church, Gateway. Start being the church. So now that this is my last sermon, let me read to you from the scripture, because it's always good to come back to that, eh? Psalm 92. But the godly shall flourish like palm trees and grow tall as the cedars of Lebanon, for they are planted in the Lord's own garden and are under his personal care. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green. Well, maybe grey, if it's old age. Notice that the scripture doesn't give credit for attendance in that passage. No, nowhere, actually, does it give credit for attendance, for going to church. There are no frequent flyer points if you're a follower of Christ. But it does tell us that to be planted is absolutely crucial for spiritual health and growth. Did you notice that? It says be planted. So what does that mean? I want you to underline, if you've got a pen and an outline, underline that word planted or circle it, because I just want to unpack that for a sec. Here's some other words that indicate planted. It means to be established, embedded, located, deposited, sown in, connected, engaged, joyful, thank you, Abigail, emotionally involved, generous, fulfilled, fruitful, and the word that comes from the scripture, flourishing. Say that word with me, flourishing. That's a beautiful word. Now, the word flourish, for those of you who are on the younger side of things, is a bit old school and it's not used much these days. I mean, like, I can't imagine telling my F45 trainer, hey, dude, you posted some sweet gains this week, like you're really flourishing. Boom! Oh, dear. Or, you know, when someone says, how are you? It's like, I'm flourishing, thanks for asking. Doesn't quite work, does it? Doesn't quite work. But it perfectly describes what being planted in God's garden means. And I believe this morning we need to capture that in our hearts. We need to see that in our hearts. That flourishing is what happens when we are truly planted in the house of God. So let's have a look at what that word flourish means. To flourish means to thrive, to succeed, to grow, to increase, to prosper, to burgeon. You know, like carrying lots of fruit around, you're just burgeoned. Blossom, bloom. It means to be healthy and fruitful and vital and active and energetic across all seasons of life. Isn't that a wonderful word? It's just a wonderful word. Who wouldn't want that for their life, huh? When you describe it like that, which of us would not want that to happen in our life? To flourish, to bloom, to be fruitful, to be vital, to be energetic in all seasons of life, whether you're a person in our God zone or youth group, or whether you're in the more senior section of the church, not looking anywhere in particular. Why wouldn't you want that for your life? And you know, the only prerequisite to flourishing, actually there's two that the Bible mentions. There's only two prerequisites, things that come before the thing that's about to happen. The two things are this: firstly, to follow Jesus. And secondly, to plant yourself in his house. Yesterday I spoke at a gathering of our church leaders about human flourishing. We had a great time here yesterday morning. If you missed it, I'm sorry. Lots of new things were announced. Lots of joy was expressed. It was fantastic. A really good launch to the year for our leadership team. I said that to them that Gateway's desire is to create a garden-like culture. You'll see that word in Psalm 92, God's garden. But our desire, just so that you wonder what it is that we're doing here, we want to create a garden-like culture where all people can flourish. All people have the opportunity to flourish. And I told them, the sad thing is, I think, that church attendance in Australia has really dropped. And this is like for the bolted-on Christian followers of Jesus. I'm not talking about those who come occasionally who are not sure what they believe, but for the bolted-on followers, and this is a hard statistic, it's 1 in 3 weeks. And it's falling. It may soon be 1 in 4. As Psalm 92 clearly tells us, the only way to flourish in your faith is to be together in God's house, to be planted. Now, I know it's popular these days to say, oh, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian and all that sort of stuff. I have a very theological word for that understanding. I call it rubbish. And over 40 plus years that I have walked with Jesus, I have seen many, many things, and I can tell you, you will not flourish as God wants you to flourish unless you get over yourself and the individualism that captures this generation and plant yourself with God's people in his house. The scripture tells me, my own experience confirms it. You know, many Christians are not flourishing as God desires them to. You know that, don't you? You have friends, maybe you are thinking, you know, it's not happening for me, I'm not flourishing. You're not reaching the potential that God desires for each and every person who follows him and their families. I believe that regular church attendance is falling because people think faith is about going to church. What do you reckon? I'll explain that in a minute, but I think that the regularity of people is falling away because they think faith is about going to church, and that becomes just another duty. It's just another event in their already time-poor lives. So what can be done? What can be done? How do we strengthen the church so that people flourish? How do we do that? Maybe we need a new understanding of what church means. And that's what Stop Start is trying to do. It's a Christian author I love wrote a book called Imagine, which if you can get it, a brilliant book on Christianity and culture. Steve Turner is his name, and he says this: the church is meant to break up the hard soil of rational minds, plant beautiful ideas, raise imaginations, and produce more fully alive people in a culture of human flourishing. Isn't that a fantastic quote? That is just brilliant. I'm going to read that again. The church is meant to break up the hard soil of rational minds. That doesn't mean we put our brain on a shelf. You know, we are thinking creatures, but we can't always reason everything. Faith needs to come in, and reason can sometimes work against faith. You know that. To plant beautiful ideas. You know, the church should be the most innovative, creative place on the planet. And that's where I think, you know, things are. Raise imaginations. Just lift our eyes to the horizon of what is possible. To produce more fully alive people. People should be better for being part of God's family than not. In a culture of human flourishing. Human flourishing. So it's not just for us, but as we go out, we help others to flourish. That's the church. And so when I read this, I thought two things. What a wonderful vision of the body of Christ. A wonderful, wonderful statement. And the second thing I thought is maybe we've got some work to do here at Gateway in this regard. You know, I'm not beyond learning. I presume you're not. I want to stay humble before the Lord. I want to stay faithful. Maybe we've got some more work to do here. Going on in his book, Turner points out that English Bibles insert the word church. But in the original languages that the Bible was written, one of them is a Greek language going way back. The word that is there is actually ecclesia. Now, I don't want to get too technical with you, but that's really important for a stop-start mentality in church. Ecclesia, rightly translated, has two very distinct but concurrent definitions. In other words, two different things that can and should be taken together. And this is where the word church loses it. So ecclesia, anyway, let's go forward. The first one, the first meaning is gathering or assembly. So instead of reading church, we could insert more accurately the word gathering, ingathering, or assembly, which obviously focuses on people, not a building. The word church is inserted from the German word Kirk, which means temple or building. That's not what God had in mind. He had in mind the gathering, the assembly. It describes a purposeful meeting of people who gather with God in the midst. Ecclesia, it's you and I. It's purposefully gathering, choosing to gather with God in the midst. It speaks of the presence, the proximity, and the power of God. That's the first definition part of what ecclesia means, therefore church means. The other meaning is the called out ones. Sounds like a name for a Netflix series, doesn't it? The called out ones. It's being gathered by the Spirit of God to be strengthened, to then go out in his name. Taken together, therefore, ecclesia defined means people with a purpose but on the move. People with a purpose but on the move. To go out with purpose, not to go to. You see the difference? It's not going to church. It's going out as the church. We are described right here as a sent people, S-E-N-T, not S-C-N-T, although maybe, I don't know. It makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. It perfectly fits the Great Commission which Jesus gave his disciples, where he said, go. The first word, if you can't remember the rest of it, just remember go. Go into all the world was the commission that Christ gave his followers before he ascended to heaven. And this has huge implications for us at Gateway. In fact, for every church on the planet, I wager, in my humble opinion. I believe with all my heart, and the Bible actually confirms this, that the church exists for those not yet in it. So have a look around. You see those people who aren't here? That's the reason Gateway exists. That's the sole purpose for which Gateway, well, not the sole, the primary purpose for which Gateway exists. And I tell you that because that is Jesus' job description. He gave himself that job description. He said, I have come to seek and save the lost. And he gathered his disciples and his church around that. That's the primary directive. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Now, if the church indeed is ecclesia, then this could only mean that we gather together to teach. We need to be built up, we need to be strengthened, and that's one benefit of being part of a healthy body of Christ, a healthy church. But we don't teach just to absorb. Now, I want you to hear me on this. Too many Christians are educated well beyond their ability to act. Huh? Yet we want more deep teaching. So it's important that we are taught the things of God, no question. But that's not the primary purpose. We teach to reach. And that's what I'm doing this morning. Hopefully I'm embedding in you the idea that we gather to go, that we reach and we teach to reach. We teach to reach because the church exists for those that are not yet in it. So in the light of this understanding, what does it mean for us to be the church of Jesus Christ? His ecclesia. What does it mean? Have we maybe not got that exactly right in our heads? Have we had something passed on to us which is a bit, you know, just a bit off the pace? Do we have an understanding from our Australian secular culture that church is something and we've unwittingly adopted that kind of view and carry that, you know, in our brains? What does it mean for us to be the church that Jesus died for, other than just going to church? Here's a few thoughts, and it's on your outline. To be the church, firstly, we gather as Jesus' followers. We gather as Jesus' followers rather than go to church. There's a big difference. Now, this is far more than semantics and word games. This is not a pastor trying to be cute with the scripture. Following Jesus was never about a place, but a pathway. It was never about a destination, but a destiny. It was never about monuments, but movements. You read the gospel again, and you'll see this dynamic pouring through the life of Christ and his disciples. His disciples wanted to build tents and monuments. You know, stay with us here, Lord, and we'll build you a tent on this mountain. And Jesus says, no, that's not why I came. He wants a dynamic, moving people. We gather dynamically. I'm not saying that buildings have no place in Christendom or in the world. You live in Melbourne. You're very glad that this is an inside kind of deal. If you think about it, even clothes need a closet, all right? So buildings have a function. Large numbers of people gathering, that's fine. But it's not the primary purpose for which we gather. This must reframe how we think about church. Not as a place that we go to, but that we are. We don't go to church. We are the church. As the Apostle Paul wrote, we gather and we urge each other onward. Onward, dynamic word, moving, growing, challenging, faithful. Coming against the circumstances of life with faith and joy regardless. And that is hard, and that's why we gather, to strengthen each other and to draw on the power of God. Can't do that alone. Yeah, realistically, few people can go to church every week. It was once pointed out to me that I do that because I'm paid to. And I came back quite quickly, you can never pay me to go to this church. Not enough, anyway. You know, if you think about it, like you've got 4 weeks holiday, you know, let's say you're sick, perish the thought, for 4 weeks. And let's say 4 weeks for unforeseen circumstances. There's 12 weeks, 12 Sundays that, you know, no good thinking, rational Christian is expected to be at church. But that makes it possible to be the church for 3 out of 4, not 1 in 3, as Australia's habit is going. You know, we all have reasons. We all have good reasons, life reasons, but the Apostle Paul says this in Hebrews 10. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. See, it was right back then. Some had lost the habit of gathering, of being, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. Say it like that too. Yeah. Too many Christians think the church is for them. It's a private club that you attend. Maybe it's a gym where you build your spiritual muscle. There's nothing wrong with building spiritual muscle. But the main thing about the church, is not us. And that's really hard for human beings to get across, because we all have needs and likes and wants and desires. And, you know, I'm serving, you know, and I'm given. So therefore, it's really hard to come against that. Yes, we are to be built up, but only to go out. It's a gathering with a launch plan. Not a lunch plan, don't misread me there. A launch plan. It's about Jesus and his mission for human flourishing. That's what being the church means. Secondly, to be the church, we grow as Jesus followers rather than go to church. And going to church may be a good thing, but better that we gather and be his followers and that we grow as his followers. You know, Jesus told a parable about seeds and sowing, probably familiar to many of you, probably familiar to some of our Sunday school kids. Jesus told the story to his disciples to emphasize the importance of spiritual growth. In the story, he says some seed falls on hard soil and never takes root. Some falls on weedy soil and it gets choked and dies. And Jesus later explained that in human terms, these weeds represent the worries and busyness and wealth of this world that suffocates human flourishing, suffocates growth, and prevents spiritual fruitfulness. Some good followers of Jesus have been planted in the wrong place. They plant themselves in all the wrong places other than the right place, which is in God's garden. We commit ourselves to all sorts of other things, and pretty soon the worries and the busyness and the wealth that we think we need suffocates us. So as for the seed, so it is for us. Jesus is trying to tell us we only reach our potential, we only produce spiritual fruit if we're planted in good soil. And what is that good soil? It's the church. You know, the trouble is I think we're so self-sufficient as individuals, we think that we're the exception. We're probably sitting here thinking a little bit now about things and going, well, you know, yeah, but. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, as for the seed that fell upon good, rich soil, it represents the hearts of people who hear and fully embrace the message. You can underline that. Fully embrace the message of heaven's kingdom realm. Their lives, the ones who are planted in good soil, bear good fruit, Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as was sown. You may think that you're just a little person trying to follow a big God and, you know, I'm no one in particular. But if you plant yourself in the garden of God, the house of God, the ecclesia, you commit, if you build your life into that, rather than everything else that the world says that is important, you will bear fruit. You will bear multiplicity. Your faith will multiply. And even the smallest person can have the biggest impact in life. Thank you. Praise God. Humans can only grow and reach their potential if we're planted in the good soil of God's house. And we learn and grow so that we go to fulfill God's mission. You see the connection. That's what Ecclesia tells us. It's not just about going to church and taking in all the good stuff. We gather to go. It's one and the same action. And thirdly, to be the church, this Ecclesia, we go as Jesus followers rather than just go to church. As the Ecclesia, we are the called out ones. We gather together to be strengthened, then to go out. Ecclesia is a people with dynamic purpose on the move. You know, we follow Jesus not by going to church, but by being the church on the way. You know, the Bible actually describes followers of Jesus as members of the way, mentioned a few times in the book of Acts. And Jesus actually refers him to himself as the only way. You know that verse? He's literally saying he is the exclusive path to God. There is no other religion. There is no other secular path of learning or enlightenment that will do what Jesus can do for you. He is the exclusive and only way to God. In the Phillips translation, it reads like this: "I myself am the road," or the way, replied Jesus, "and the truth, and the life, and no one approaches the Father except through me." Why don't we stand? That means you and me. You can sit if you want to, but I'd rather you stood. Church, let's do what Jesus calls us to do. Let's stop going to church. Can we make that commitment this morning? Hand on heart. Pastor Rick, I pledge to stop going to church. Okay? Let's stop going to church and start being the church that Jesus died to build.
Yes, Christ.
Hand on heart, Pastor Rick, I'm going to be the church that Jesus died for. One that gathers to grow and to go. Heavenly Father, how important a word is sometimes. How it can just reframe our whole thinking about who we are, what we're here for. It's an old-fashioned word, but Lord, we want to flourish. It's our desire to flourish. And we know from reading your word, from the mouth of Jesus himself, that the only place to truly flourish in God is in his house, in the garden. So, Lord, we commit to planting ourselves afresh in the garden, not to go to church, not just to do the one in three, but, Lord, we want to plant ourselves because we need you. We need each other, and we want to flourish to produce the fruit that you need us to produce for the sake of the world. And we ask it with as much sincerity as we can bring to bear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.